broadcasting from the famous Jersey Shore. This is Save Coastal Wildlife, the podcast. My name is Joe Reynolds, Executive Director of Save Coastal Wildlife, an environmental nonprofit dedicated to educating people about the preservation and protection of coastal wildlife along the Jersey Shore. And the awesome music you hear in the background. Well, that awesome music here in the background throughout the podcast is from Apache Tomcat. It's a band out of Texas, ladies and gentlemen, near Austin, Texas. They have graciously agreed to offer their music for the podcast. And to listen more of Apache Tomcat's music, go to the Free Music Archive. The Free Music Archive can be found at www.freemusicarchive.org. That is www.freemusicarchive.org. And just type in Apache Tomcat. That's APACHETOMCAT. Apache Tomcat. And I am joined tonight by my two best friends in the whole wide world. We have...
Hey there, this is Jen, Brooklynite turned Jerseyite, or as I like to say, Jay-Z to Jay-Wow, one of the founding members of Save Coastal Wildlife and all around wildlife lover.
And then we have...
Hi, I'm Sam, ocean addict and coastal wildlife lover.
Aw, so nice. Thanks, Samantha. Well, thank you, Jen and Samantha, for being here tonight. It's great having you both. Ladies, you know, it's raining so much out there along the Jersey Shore these last couple of weeks. It makes me feel like I'm a fish. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure lots of people are feeling like fish. Which brings us to the question for tonight for the podcast. If you could be any fish in the world, what would it be? Now, for me, I think... perhaps I would like to be a sailfish. They're really beautiful. They're kind of big. They're fast. They're fast fish. They could travel around the ocean to see all the sights, see all the other fish, see the world. And I love to travel. So I think I might be a sailfish. I don't know. Jen, what about you? What do you think?
If I could be any fish, what would I be? I think I would pick the humu humu.
What?
Not just because I like saying humu humu, but it's actually the reef triggerfish, which is the state fish of Hawaii.
Oh, that's very cool. Now you like Hawaii?
I love Hawaii, so I would get to live in Hawaii and be pretty and just swim around all day. It doesn't get better than that.
That is pretty cool. What about you, Samantha?
I think I would be a parrotfish because they are reef gardeners, and in doing so, they spend the majority of their day eating. Which I can relate to.
Yeah, not a bad way to spend a day.
That's not a bad way to spend a day, you're right. Well, I think a lot of people would say maybe other fish, and one fish in particular maybe would be a seahorse. Seahorses, people love seahorses. That's one of the most popular fish out there that people do love is the seahorses. Seahorses are pretty awesome. You know, seahorses, they sort of look like a collection of different types of parts and pieces of other animals. Seahorses, as you know, Jen and Samantha, they have the head of a horse with the snout of an aardvark, a pouch of a kangaroo, eyes like a lizard, the tail of a monkey, and armor-plated body like a sturgeon. They also have the ability to change colors like a chameleon and the ability to wrap their tail around things like monkeys can do. You know, some people, I think, are born with tails as well, too. Did you know that?
Yeah. Sounds like a guy I dated once.
Oh! You know, seahorses are amazing. Did you know there's over 40 known species of seahorses around the world? They can swim upright and avoid predators by mimicking the color of underwater plants. They're chameleons. Did you know they're chameleons? They can change color?
No.
Isn't that amazing? Except for crabs, few marine predators eat seahorses. It's too bony to digest.
Just like you, Joe.
I did lose 50 pounds. Thank you, Jen, for noticing. Seahorses can also, they can anchor themselves with their tails to seagrasses and corals using their really long snouts to suck in plankton and small crustaceans that sort of drift on by. The seahorses can suck up food as far away as 3 centimeters away. How many inches is that? Anybody know? Inches?
I could guess. That it's 1.18 inches.
Wow, you are so smart, Jen.
Just a shot.
That's pretty good. The seahorses feed constantly on plankton and tiny little fish. It moves each of its eyes independently so it can follow the activity of passing sea life without giving its presence away. Isn't that amazing?
Pretty cool, if you ask me.
I think they're
magical. They're like little fairies in the sea or something. When you see them, it's so exciting.
It is true that, you know, when you bring up seahorses, they are like magical, almost like unicorns.
Yeah.
But they're actually terrible swimmers.
Really? They are.
They're not great swimmers.
Yeah. Yeah. Hold on. We'll talk about that in a minute. But, you know, no doubt, seahorses are awesome. We love seahorses at Safe Coastal Wildlife, and we hope you do, too. One of the most extraordinary things about seahorses is that it's the male who bears the young. Why female seahorses still produce the eggs, it's the male that produces the sperm. But when the eggs are ripe, the female deposits the eggs in the male broad pouch, sort of like one of those male purses back in the 1980s. Yeah.
The MRSE.
I think it was the MRSE. I think that's what it was called. And you said it was coming back, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good look on you, Joe.
Everybody wants to look like a seahorse. But you know, and then once the female does that, once she puts the eggs in the male purse, she leaves and plays no further role in caring for the young. Imagine how life would be different if humans lived like seahorses.
Women would rule the world.
I think so.
Because we'd have some more time on our hands.
I think you had plenty of time, right? Yeah. So you wouldn't have to worry about taking care of the young, little babies, right? Would be the man. So sadly, though, that's not the way it is. No. But did you know back in the day, like 1,000 years ago, people thought seahorses were sea monsters? But today we know that seahorses are, in fact, real fish. Scientists have used molecular dating, which is sort of sounds like a dating site, but it's not really. Molecular dating, it's a method that dates genetic differences that have accumulated between living species since they last shared a common ancestor, to find that we found that the most recent ancestor for seahorses have lived 25 million years ago, which is around the same time that a collision took place between Australia and New Guinea. And this collision result in the formation of vast shallow water areas where it was previously was really deep water. But the fossil record indicates that the fauna and flora of that region changed dramatically as seagrass meadows quickly established themselves throughout these new habitats. And it's these seagrass meadows that pretty much we could still find seahorses in abundance. Even today, seahorses have adapted to live in the seagrass meadows. That's pretty amazing. So seahorses have been around for like 25 million years. Pretty amazing stuff, right, ladies?
I liked sea monster better.
Seahorses are typically located in shallow tropical waters that are quite warm. They can be found living along the coral and seagrass and the mangroves. In Europe, they're known to reside in the Thames River. Many of the larger species are living in the Mediterranean Sea. But what a lot of people don't realize is that seahorses, they can be found right here living along the Jersey Shore. In fact, you just found one the other day, right, Samantha?
I did. I found one at Sandy Hook.
Nice. Was it living or dead?
It was dead, sadly.
Sad.
But still just as cool.
It is pretty cool, though, finding seahorses, even if they might be dead.
Yeah, we found them when we've been seining with Safe Coastal Wildlife.
It's true. We have found seahorses and are seining it live, living seahorses. It's true. And so seahorses can be found living along the Jersey Shore from Delaware Bay up to Raritan Bay and Sandy Hook Bay and even into New York Harbor. The only native seahorse to the Jersey Shore and Delaware Bay and New York Harbor is the northern lined seahorse. Now, the northern lined seahorse can be found pretty much all along the East Coast. It's a pretty popular seahorse, but it's the only native one here along the Jersey Shore. It's, again, the northern lined seahorse. Now, it's a small little critter. It only grows about 5 to 6 inches in length. It varies in color from pale yellow to nearly black, though normally when we find it, it's pretty black in color. It's pretty dark in color, owing probably to our murky, dark waters. It has a long snout with a small, toothless mouth that's very good in sucking in plankton, which it loves to do. It loves to suck in plankton. And the seahorses eats mostly tiny crustaceans. It ambushes its prey by changing colors to match its surroundings and wrapping its tail around an object to stay very still. It then sucks its prey in its long snout. And Jen, any comments on that?
Well, Why are you asking me if I have a comment?
I don't know. I just thought maybe you might have a comment on that.
Sucking.
I just thought maybe. I don't know. But here, you might have a comment on this. So males and females are monogamous, meaning they stay. Well, do you know what monogamous means?
Do you?
Males and females are monogamous, which means they stay together with the same partner or mate for life.
Wow,
humans are not so good at being monogamous, but apparently
well, maybe
seahorses
if
are.
The men would have the babies, we would be.
But the reason we're talking about seahorses tonight, ladies and gentlemen, of all those fun facts we just talked about, one of the reasons we're talking about seahorses tonight is because they're mating right now. So right along the Jersey Shore.
This very moment.
Right here,
this very
right
moment, right,
right
here in
right
this
right
room.
Now.
Mating takes place along the Jersey Shore for the Northern Lion Seahorse between May to October. They go through elaborate courtship ritual, as you might imagine, right? The female lays her eggs in the male's broad pouch, the male's purse, which are then fertilized and incubated for approximately 2 weeks before they hatch. The male then releases a cloud of 200 to 500, sometimes as many as 1,300 tiny, fully formed seahorses from his pouch into the water. Yeah, it's pretty amazing stuff. Juveniles are less than 1/4 inch long and quickly take on the habits of the adult. They swim along and they suck in food as they move along.
Wow.
But living in an ever-growing and crowded, big, bustling, urban, suburban environment, life is not easy for our northern lion seahorses.
Here we go.
It never is.
Because of their body shape, seahorses are rather slow, as we were talking about, Samantha, rather slow and not very good swimmers, and can easily die of exhaustion when caught in stormy seas.
Me too.
Stormy, wasn't that name of a drag queen, Stormy Seas?
Probably.
I think it was.
If Stormy not, Seas. I'm taking it.
Yeah, that's a good name, Stormy Seas. Yet there is some evidence suggests that our little seahorses migrate offshore to deeper waters during the winter. A seahorse moves so slowly that it would take about 5 minutes just to cross your bathtub. Isn't that amazing?
Wow. And I mean, the ones we see are pretty small. Is that how big they are?
That's about as big as they get.
They're so tiny.
Yeah, only about 5 or 6 inches. The northern lion seahorse, it's not very big at all. And yet it's traveling from, you know, the Hudson River, Raritan Bay, out into the Atlantic Ocean for the wintertime and then traveling back. And I think this is why we find dead ones along the coast, especially like after a storm or something. Mm-hmm. They just can't handle all that stress. Mm-hmm. So they just wash up dead.
Poor guys.
I know, it's very sad, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's proof that seahorses do exist. When you find, you know this, Samantha, when you find dead stuff on the beach, it's evidence of something that at one point in time was living along the Jersey Shore.
Very true.
And they've been it's hanging on for 25 million years, so I guess they must adapt a little bit, right?
It's true, except, unfortunately, the International Union of Conservation of Nature has listed the northern lion seahorse population as vulnerable, which means it's likely to become endangered unless the circumstances that are threatening its survival and reproduction improves. Any idea what might be causing the northern lion seahorse population to decline by up to 30%?
Pollution?
Pollution's a good guess. Who said that?
Me, Jen.
Oh, that's very smart, Jen.
Thanks.
What about you, Samantha? Any thoughts?
Maybe habitat loss?
Habitat loss is always, it's always the number one reason, right? But there's something equally as important as habitat loss that we just like to talk about here at Save Coastal Wildlife. And one of the biggest problems is the seahorse trade.
Oh, no.
So globally, an estimated what?
Are you kidding me?
What? Wait, it gets better. Hold on to that. Hold on to that thought.
Better or worse?
Worse. Yeah. So globally, an estimated 15 to 20 million, maybe even up to 150 million, again, this is globally, 150 million seahorses are bought and sold to satisfy the demand for traditional Asian medicine.
No.
Just go to Chinatown in New York City and you'll see there are seahorses being sold for medicinal purposes.
What are they supposed to do?
So the Chinese have been using seahorses to make medicine for nearly 500 years. They believe the medicine can cure asthma, throat infections, and many other diseases. But You're going to like this one. It could also improve your sex life.
Oh, my God. Is there anything that doesn't, that, you know, any endangered species?
Especially men, if you have trouble getting it up, take a couple seahorses. Take and two seahorses and call me in the morning. Yeah, so it's pretty bad. What were you going to say, Samantha? I'm sorry.
I was going to say, maybe you take too many and then you end up pregnant.
Yeah.
As a male. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we should try that out someday. That's a good experiment.
Yeah, we should work that angle. Maybe they'll stop eating seahorses. Yeah. They're afraid they'll get pregnant.
Caution may cause pregnancy. Yeah. Male pregnancy.
Yeah, let's try that one day. Maybe not, though. But here's something else, too. So they're taken for this trade, right? And, you know, again, not just to overseas like in Asia, but you can go to Chinatown and see seahorses being sold over there. You can go to any place that's selling these ancient medicines. And in their little cabinet, they have seahorses, right? So millions are being taken out of the seas. Right here, in fact, in New York Harbor, I ran into one person sometime who was trying to look for seahorses, catching seahorses with nets to bring them to Chinatown to being sold. So it happens right here in our own backyard.
And that's completely legal?
Well, no. So the United Nations, like under treaties we've signed with the United Nations, with the United States of America, signed with the United Nations, no. So it's not legal, but, you know, your local police, they don't really enforce this, they don't know. And so, you know, it's a matter of education. And this is why we do these podcasts, to educate people that, no, it's not legal, that it should be stopped. So something else, though, it's going on in addition to that. There's more bad news for Northern Lion seahorses. They are sold as souvenirs. And they're taken out of the water, and they're actually put into the sun so they can be dried up. The souvenir trade takes millions of seahorses from the wild, along with shells and starfish. Seahorses are deliberately taken from the sea and left to die in the boiling sun. And so when you go to a store and they're selling seahorses, those seahorses at one point in time, they're not fake, they're real. They're taken out of the water and they're dried in the boiling sun and then sold on the market for, I think I went to Amazon to look for how much seahorses cost, and they were like $15, $20. And they were actually selling the little babies, which is really, really sad.
Ew.
Yeah, they were selling the babies. So it's a sad life for seahorses.
Yeah,
again,
I think their magicalness is also their curse, sort of.
Yeah.
They're so cool looking.
It's happening right here in our local waters along the Jersey Shore and New York Harbor, down in Delaware Bay, and really all along the East Coast. It's a tough life for seahorses, being taken out of the water, being sold as medicine or souvenirs. But something else, the third problem, live seahorses are also bought and sold for private aquarium industry, right?
Yeah.
So the pet trade takes an estimated 1 million seahorses from the wild, and it's thought that less than 1,000 survive more than 6 weeks because people just don't know how to take care of seahorses. So you can go to your pet shop and think, oh, okay, I'm buying a seahorse. It's probably sustainable, but it's not. Again, it's taken from the wild, right? There's no seahorse farms because in actuality, it's really hard raising seahorses. It really takes a lot of time and energy. Conditions have to be just right. Seahorses are very sensitive to temperature. They eat constantly, so food has to be in the tank all the time. And if all these conditions aren't right, seahorses are going to die. And so that's what happens. People just don't know how to take care of seahorses. They buy one from the pet store, they take it home, and boom, within a couple of weeks, it just dies. Mm-hmm. And then they go back and they try again and go back and try again. And they keep, you know, it's horrible, 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 horrible.
Yeah.
It's very sad, right? So one of the biggest problems for seahorses around New York Harbor is that they have very limited habitat, as you were saying, Samantha. Very limited habitat, specifically eelgrass or seagrass beds. So in New York Harbor, there used to be lots of seagrass beds, but sadly, we don't have much seagrass beds. Any reason why you think there's no more seagrass beds in New York Harbor? Well, hardly any, I should say.
Maybe pollution or development?
Yeah, I would go. I pick development.
So seagrass beds used to be these really wonderful ecosystems, right? So New York Harbor used to have these really great unique ecosystems. We used to have oyster beds. There used to be, like scallops, bay scallops all over the place, right? There used to be mussels, rib mussels all over the place, right? Wetlands all over the place with chock full of rib mussels, like just an incredible diversity of life, right? And then all of a sudden, pollution comes in, development comes in, you have all this development right next to the water, you have all this erosion and sediment of sand and mud and muck getting into our waterways and covering up all the seagrass beds. And then also you have so many nutrients coming in, you have lawns, people are over-fertilizing their lawns, and just, you know, so much raw sewage coming into the harbor and into our water, right? All these nutrients coming in, right, that it's creating all these alga blooms, and these alga blooms are just covering up the sunlight for the seagrass beds, and they can't survive on that. Mm-hmm. So as a result, here in New York Harbor, Raritan Bay, Sandy Hook Bay, the Navisink River, Shrewsbury River, a lot of the Jersey Shore, up until about, I think, Barnegat Bay. Barnegat Bay still has some nice areas of seagrass beds, perhaps Delaware Bay as well, too. I'm not too sure. But certainly around New York Harbor, we've lost much of our seagrass beds because of just poor planning, overdevelopment, water pollution, raw sewage, just a horrible mix of just gunk and garbage for like 100 years or more. And that's really destroyed our seagrass beds. It's remarkable that we have any seahorses still in our waters, but yet we still do. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
Also, dredging is a big problem, right? So dredging, they dredge our waterways, and they take up all that mud and muck and what used to be seagrass. So any seagrass beds that used to be around the area are being taken up by dredging. If you have a big tanker ship and they're going to put their anchor in the water, that anchor also helps to remove any sort of seagrasses around the bottom of the bay as well, too. So because it's in a big industrial area, our waterways, New York Harbor, Raritan Bay, Sandy Hook Bay, we've lost a lot of really good habitat, seagrass habitat, which seahorses love. Now, I'm not going to tell you, but there are some hot spots where seahorses can be found because the threats, which I just went over, like, you know, people like to take the seahorses out and you know, munch on them for medicine, ground them up, take them for, you know, to enlarge their penises. And other sexual organs, I'm not exactly sure what, but you know, other sexual organs. I thought it was just penises, but
I think it is.
But I think there's more to it. I don't know. It's been a long time since I had sex. Anyway, so, and then, so we've lost a lot. But in New York Harbor, there is still a few hot spots where you could find seahorses. And I think there's hot spots there because of the few seagrass beds that still exist there.
Yeah, don't tell anybody.
I'm not going to tell them where they are. But, you know, if you think about it, you could pretty much figure where they are. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the seahorses are hanging out. And I think that's where they're giving babies and they're mating. And they're mating right now and they're giving babies. And they're trying to create the next population of seahorses, northern line seahorses right here in New York Harbor. And so hopefully the population grows. I remember as a kid growing up in Barnegat Bay, we didn't find a lot of seahorses. We did find a few. We found a lot of pufferfish, but we didn't find a lot of seahorses. And now here I'm living around New York Harbor, and it's the population still seems about the same. We find not many, but a few every now and then. About once a year, we find some seahorses in our seine net. So hopefully the seahorses can do better. Here are some things you can do to save seahorses. You're probably thinking to yourself, okay, what can we do? Well, so Save Coastal Wildlife has created the top 8 ways to save the northern line seahorse along the Jersey Shore, including in Newark Harbor. What is number one? Don't buy dead seahorses, right? So don't buy
D-horses. That's a good rule to live by.
Don't buy dead seahorses, right? So if you find one on the beach, that's cool. But don't spend your money.
Yeah, don't feed the beast.
Don't spend your money buying dead stuff. Don't buy seahorse medicine. Don't do it. So don't be cheap. Go out and get the blue pill. Go out and get Viagra, right?
You can get online now. You don't have to go to the doctor or anything.
It's like you can get on Amazon, right? You can get on Amazon. You can get it all over the place. So don't be cheap. Go out, get the good stuff. It's going to work. Get your penis up and move in and have a good time at night. Don't use seahorses.
Put the seahorses down.
Yeah, exactly. Don't have seahorses as pets. get yourself a dog.
Right.
Cat. Chicken.
Guppy.
Guppy. Snakes.
Yes.
Maybe not snakes.
We have Josie, the official podcast
dog. The official
here,
dog of Safe Coast to Wildlife.
Yes.
Yeah. So get your pet at a pet store. Don't get seahorses. Don't get seahorses.
Don't get pets at a pet store either.
At a
please.
Shelter.
Where'd you get Josie?
I got her from a shelter.
Oh, very nice.
Adopt, don't shop. Thank you.
Sorry. Protect seahorse habitat. So there's only a few seagrass areas around, but we need to protect them. And better yet, we need to increase the seagrass beds. So there is a couple of organizations that do and try to increase seagrass locations. That certainly needs to be encouraged. More effort needs to be put into increasing seagrass habitat in New York Harbor, along the Jersey Shore, Raritan Bay, St. Hook Bay, the Navesink River. We've lost a lot. We need to do more to increase our seagrass habitat. Don't buy fish that's been caught with destructive fishing methods. So the shrimp that you could buy at Amazon,
mm-hmm.
you know, in many cases, that shrimp, well, it comes from trawling boats that scrape up millions of seahorses every year. So buy sustainable seafood. We always tell that to you, ladies and gentlemen. Always buy sustainable seafood. If it doesn't have a little sticker on it saying it's sustainable, don't buy it. Get away from that stuff. So the shrimp trawl boats that you know that haul up all that seahorses that they sell on Amazon, make sure if you're going to buy seafood online, it's sustainable. Do your bit by not buying seafood that was caught in trawlers. Also, take a stand against climate change. Climate change is impacting seahorses from sea level rise, making more stormy seas, increasing water temperatures, so it's having a real problem. And if you want to see seahorses, what's the best way to see seahorses?
In our seine nets?
Even better than that.
Oh.
In a picture.
That's true. Pictures are really cool. But if you want to see live seahorses, you could always, of course, go to YouTube. But you can visit a really good aquarium as well, too. There are a few really good aquariums out there. I just went to Mystic Aquarium a couple weeks ago. That was really cool. They had some seahorses over there. So those guys really know how to take care of the seahorses. They last a lot longer than just a few weeks. And so go to a really good aquarium. There's some lousy aquariums out there. So just use your best judgment and go to a really good aquarium and go see some seahorses. And sometimes you'll see seahorses from around the world. They're really cool.
Cool.
And then the last one.
What?
Spread the seahorse love, ladies and gentlemen, right? So spread the word. Let other people know. So don't keep all this information to yourself. Spread the word. Let people know that the Jersey Shore has seahorses and that they're in trouble. And the only way that they're going to be out of trouble is if we do something about it. It's really only one species that causes all these problems for all these species. It's not the whales, it's not the dolphins, it's not the seals. It is the human species. So human species can cause all these problems. We could also solve all these problems as well, too, including for our little friend, the northern lion seahorses. We love northern lion seahorses here at Safe Coastal Wildlife. We hope you do, too. And so I want to thank you, Jen, and you, Samantha, for coming out tonight on a stormy night and helping me with the podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
So educational.
I love you both. Thank you for coming out. And we hope to see you guys real, real soon for another edition of Safe Coastal Wildlife, the podcast.